is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Amen. To God be the glory for the things that He has done. We woke up this morning, we could all testify, Lord, You did it again. You gave us another day. Good morning, saints of God. What a blessing it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. What a special day it is. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the church's birthday. Happy birthday to the Church of the Living God. Happy birthday to the Universal Church. What a special day. 50 days after the resurrection of our Savior. And now we are now the Church of the Living God. And just take a moment and praise God for the birthday of the church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank God that He has sent His Spirit and allowed us to be a part of what He's doing in this world. That what we are doing in earth has already been loosed in heaven. And whatever we bind on earth, having already been bound in heaven, thank God that He gave us a key. And some 2,000 years ago, the key was unlocked to the mystery of the Church of the Living God. And we thank God that we are part of this movement, this worldwide global movement called the Church. And I thank God that He allows us to be a part of what He is doing. Amen. Amen. To all of our ministers that are here and to our ministry leaders and to all of you, my father's children, we thank God for your presence. Those who are with us today on the parking lot and those who are worshiping with us virtually, we thank God for this day. I'm excited about this day. This day makes me excited. Amen. It makes me excited. You ought to be expecting something. If Pentecost can come then, Pentecost can come even right now. But you got to be on one accord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. There's a word from the Lord we want to share with you concerning this day, this moment of time. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1. And the Holy Spirit has led us to share one particular passage. And I know you're hot. I know you're disgruntled. And so we go do what we can. It's amazing. We act like we ain't never seen sun before. Ain't never felt heat before. Lord have mercy. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Your Bible should read somewhat like this. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, Lord have mercy, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's enough. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. Today we want to talk about mission possible. Mission possible. I'm going to make this statement to you today, and y'all going to think your preacher is crazy today, but I'm going to make this statement with 100% certainty and confidence. Ain't nothing wrong with God's church. I thought I would have got a honk on that one. Ain't nothing wrong with God's church. If God is omnipotent, if God is sovereign, if God is all-powerful and never made a mistake, never lost the patience, never lost the battle. And I believe God knew what he was doing when he set up his church. There's nothing wrong with God's church as it was designed to be, as it was implemented and instructed to be. But some of us today can't praise God, can't celebrate this, because we're looking at the people in the church and not looking at the power of the church. And the church of the living God was born, was given birth to bring forth some change, bring forth a difference in this world. Here is the problem we have. God saved you, but he left you here. Your life would be simple today if God would have saved you and then took you to heaven. But the reason you can't celebrate today is because the Lord has saved you and he didn't take you with him. He left you here on earth to represent him while on earth in anticipation of going to heaven. But we can't shout today because the church has lost her mission. The church has lost her passion. The church has lost her joy. The church has lost her purpose. We have fooled ourselves and allowed ourselves to fool ourselves to think that this has to do with us. So that when my life is not going well, I make the church pay. When things don't go the way I want it to go, the church has to pay. When my money is funny, the church has to pay. When I don't get my way, there is no God. When people hurt me, I've experienced church hurt, and now I don't have any faith, and I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read a Bible. I'm not going to show up because God didn't hurt you. The church didn't hurt you. Jokers in the church hurt you. So I want to kill that lie today because you didn't experience church hurt. You got hurt while a part of the church. And you got to be very careful today not to allow the enemy to fool you. Ain't nothing wrong. And I know it doesn't sound eloquent to say that, but ain't nothing wrong with the Lord's church. And you can tell them I said it. I'll say it right here standing by myself. I'll shout it all over Winfield. I'll shout out over Facebook. Ain't nothing wrong with God's church. And the mission that he has given us, it's possible. We can't see souls saved. We can't see lives changed. We can't see people renewed. We can't experience revival. We can be renewed. We can be the lender, not the borrower. We can be the head and not the tail. We can't see joy. We can't see a difference. We can't see the family change. We can't see things better. The mission is possible. But perhaps the reason you just sitting there looking at me like you looking is because you don't even know what your mission is. And when you don't know what your mission is, oh, Lord, when you don't know what your mission is, you'll never think things are possible. If it was in your hands, it might be impossible. But guess what? The church ain't in your hands. The church is in the Lord's hands. And if the Lord put his hand on it, it's always going to last. And you got to learn how to put your life in his hand, put the ministry in his hand, put the situation in his hand, because there's nothing you can do with it but God. Why would God wait till now and say, I can't do this? Why are you talking so negative to a positive situation? Why you got your mouth stuck out? Why are you so haughty? Why are you so irritable? Why you can't get along? It's because you don't know the mission. And I came today as God's ambassador just to help us re-identify what the real mission is. You ain't here to deacon. You ain't here to preach. You ain't here to do your thing. You ain't here to count money. You ain't here to run the system. You ain't here to play. You ain't here to play the drum. You're here to represent Jesus. And if he let you preach, preach. If he lets you count money, count. If he lets you usher, usher. But don't get it twisted. He got folk who can do what you do. This thing ain't about you. Can I be bold for a minute? This thing ain't about you. That's why you mad. Because it went on without you. But it's the Lord's mission. 14 months of not being able to attend but the church is still standing. And you know why you can't praise? Because it ain't got nothing to do with you. The church is still moving in a pandemic. The church moved when people couldn't show up. Because the mission is possible. Luke writes this passage as a part two to his gospel. Luke chapter 24, the latter part of chapter 24, is the part two of his discourse about the Lord's works. He writes to Theophilus and talks to Theophilus and tells him about the many things that Jesus did. And some are seen in Luke 24, the latter part of chapter 24, that for 40 days after his resurrection, he spends time with his disciples. I'm going to rewind that. I said 40 days after he got up. All right. They don't shout you. Buddha came. Buddha died. Buddha ain't get up. Confucius came. Confucius died. He ain't get up. Aristotle came. Aristotle died. Aristotle ain't get up. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, he died, and 3 days later, he got up and started talking and started ministering and started teaching to his disciples for 40 days. Here's the problem. Here's the problem then. Here's the problem now. People are living like he ain't get up. You're living like he died. You're living like he stayed dead. When you complain, you put him in the grave. When you murmur, you put him in the grave. When you're negative, you put him in the grave. I feel like preaching. When you won't talk right, you're putting him in the grave. He only appears to certain folk for 40 days. So folk who were not there don't know and put their mouth on what they don't know. And that's what's happening to the church. People are scandalizing our name. They're making fun of us right now. Somebody's on Facebook laughing. Somebody's driving by laughing. We look stupid. But the problem is they just don't know like we know. And you gotta stop letting their faces, their statements, stop you from forfeiting what you know. 40 days. He meets with them, shares with them, breaks bread with them. 40 days. 10 days later, he's going to leave them. And here it is in our text. They begin to ask him questions because Jesus says, stay in Jerusalem. Stay where they killed me. Stay where they did the dirt. Stay there until I give you the power. Stay there till I give you what I promised you. The promise is coming, but you can't get it unless you're in the right place. There it is. Most of us can't receive because we won't stay. You want to be everywhere else but where the Lord told you to be. And wonder why your life is no different is because you won't go to your promised place. You may be going to a popular place, but it might not be your promised place. He says, stay there until I give you what I promised you. And they start asking questions. The disciples say, well, because he says to them that y'all got baptized with water. But this baptism that I'm going to give you, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got baptized with water, but that water ain't going to save you. I'm going to give you something now to help you manage staying in the world you live in. Here it is. And they start saying, Lord, at this time, is this the time you're going to restore your kingdom? Is this when you're going to restore the kingdom back unto yourself? Is this the time? Now, understand this now, if y'all let me talk to you just for a moment, that at the time of our text, the Jews are under Roman persecution. They're under Roman authority, under Roman government. They're under cruel, harsh government. Things are not easy for Jews. They just crucified Jesus. And anybody who follows Jesus, they are persecuting. I'm going to try again. It's a very difficult time they're in. And they're asking themselves, asking Jesus the question that David asked in Psalm 13. Can I tell you that question is? How long? Lord, how long are you going to watch our affliction? How long are you going to watch our oppression? How long are you going to watch police kill people unarmed? How long are you going to watch racism? How long are you going to watch the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer? How long? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had those times in your life that you don't mind admitting, Lord, how long? Is it time yet for you to come and do what you say you're going to do? Is it time yet for you to come and meet my need? Is it time yet for you to get them Negroes off my trail? Is it time yet for you to get them? Have you ever asked that question to the Lord? Lord, how much more are we going to take? Is it time now for you to restore your kingdom? And Jesus says, it's not up to you. Can I bring it to the Ham Standard Version? It ain't none of your business. You asking the Lord, Lord, how long you'll let me suffer? And the Lord tell you it ain't none of your business. Because they asking him, Jesus says, I don't even know. It's up to the Father, the season. Now, let me unpack that real quick. I know y'all ain't got time, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Watch this. He says to him, you don't need to know the day or the hour. It's none of your business. Only the Father knoweth that, when I'm going to restore my kingdom. Here is our problem. Here is the disciples' problem. They got the wrong definition of time. They're asking him, at this time, will you restore your kingdom? They're talking about Chronos. Chronos, chronological time. They're looking for a particular time. Their life is based on calendars. Their life is based on hours, minutes, seconds. They want to know the date that the Lord goes show up. Y'all laughing, but Y2K came. And you bought that potted meat, them crackers, cases of water all over your house, because you thought it was about the Chronos when the Lord was going to come back. And we get hung up now because we need to know the Chronos. But Jesus says it's not for you to know the Chronos, it's for you to know the Kairos. Kairos is a set time. It's a set season. You can't shout off that. Because you're so busy looking at a calendar that you ain't looking to Christ. Can I ask you a question? Have there ever been some things God has blessed you with you didn't know was coming? It's because you were lining up with Kairos and weren't limiting yourself to Chronos. Okay, can I ask you another question? Have you ever had more month than money? And you were able to go into another month? It's because your life, the bill collector, was based on Chronos, but God said, I got them in Kairos. And I don't need a date. I don't need a day. I don't need a time. I don't need AM. I don't need PM to bless my children. I've got a time that's set. Here it is. You got to stop getting hung up on Chronos. Lord, what date are you going to show up? What time so I'll know when you're going to show up? That's how we live it now. Because if you knew the Lord was going to show up right now, if you knew the Lord was going to bless your situation right now, you'd have came here with a better attitude. If somebody were to tell you, May 23rd, 11 a.m., I've got your blessing waiting on you. Now you're going to come because you come expecting. But the problem with that is you're living your life based on Chronos. And not living your life on Kairos. Both of them are the name time, but it got different meanings. And God has called us to live off Kairos and not be worried about Chronos. Because you may not get to Chronos, but if you keep living for the Lord, you're always going to fall into the right Kairos. Here it is. And ask him a question. It's not, how long? Is it time now for things to get better? You see us living under oppressive government. You see that everybody going crazy. You see that we're in a pandemic. You see that we done got COVID. You see people are dying. You see people getting sick. How long? Are you now ready to restore? And the Lord say, hell for you to know. That ain't none of your business. And so he puts us to verse number 8 now. He says, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. But you shall receive. That missed it. I'm not going to tell you the time, but I'm going to give you something to help you whole while you wait on me to come back. These are the last words that the Lord speaks to his disciples. These are the last vocal words that he speaks to his disciples before he ascends to be with his Father. And the last thing he tells them is, but you shall receive power. I'm not going to remove that sickness, but you shall receive power. I'm not going to remove them hellions out of your life, but you shall receive power. I'm going to keep you in that same situation, but you shall receive power. I'm not going to make them change and say, I'm sorry, but you shall receive power. You're going to still be in the same one-room shack, but you shall receive power. I'm going to keep you in the same frustration, but you shall receive power. I'm going to give you something to help you manage. I've got something for you to do while you wait on me. That's it, y'all. That's what we're doing. Every day of our life, we're living for the Lord in anticipation for him to come back. And here's the scary part. Because I don't know the Kairos, I got to live every day like it's coming now. And I think a lot of us are wasting a whole lot of chronos and kairos because we don't know the chronos. How many days have you wasted worrying about your problem? How many days have you wasted worrying about something you can't change? How much time have you wasted worrying about people you can't change? But you shall receive power. And to be able to deal with this mission as possible, it's described, number one, as a simple ability. I'm sorry, a special ability. God says, in order for you to accomplish the mission I've set for you at the church, this is why I set the church now, not a building, but my church, the ecclesia, those who belong to me, those who are the sanctified. Not by their dress, but by their disposition. Because you can wear a whole long skirt and have all kind of cotton stockings and be going straight to hell with them cotton stockings on. Holiness is not dress code. It's a heart condition. Watch this. He says, I'm going to give you a special ability, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Wait a minute now. All of this Jesus is teaching them in anticipation. They got a reason not to shout. They got a reason not to lift their hand. But we're looking at this text from a past tense, which means that the power that he gave them has already been given to you and I. And you mean to tell me you've been on this parking lot for the last 55 minutes and you ain't said, thank you, Lord. You ain't said good morning. You ain't lifted your hand. You ain't told the Lord thank you. But you shall receive power. Here it is. Not, he says, I've got authority. The authority has been given to me. That's exousia. That's authority power. He says, because I've got authority, I'm giving you the power, dunamis. And dunamis is where we get the word dynamite from. It means that's explosive power. It means supernatural power, extraordinary power. Here it is. God wants to do something and has been doing something extraordinary in ordinary people. Somebody mad at you right now because you shouldn't be standing. Somebody frustrated with you right now because with everything you've been through, you shouldn't be at church.
You shouldn't be worshiping. You shouldn't have a roof over your head. You shouldn't be eating. But because God has given you dunamis. Oh, okay. I know why you can't praise God off that. I get it. Because you want to just use it in church. That's why you don't know what power is. Because you think power is laying your hand on somebody and they fall out. You think power is only present when you speak in tongues. Power is being able not only to speak in tongues, but when they cuss you out in English, you still speak to them in English. I got power enough not to get you back. You got to learn to thank God for the power he has given you to help you withstand what you're dealing with. Watch this. Can I prove that? Can I prove that? Can I argue with you? Because you don't think you got power. You don't even appreciate the power in you. You are the devil's worst nightmare. When you woke up this morning, the devil started plotting. Because if you ever tap into the power God has given you, if you ever receive what God has already given you, you will be amazing. You're going to change the world. You will change your family. Watch this. Here it is. Real power is not removing the problem. Real power is being able to stand and still pray and still produce and still love and still forgive even while the hell going on in your life. Power is not shown unless you deal with resistance. Oh, I wish I had somebody help me here. In order to see how strong you are weightlifting, you got to lift something strong. You got to deal with a lot of tension to see how much you can handle. And every now and then, the life gets heavy on you, and you're wondering why you're carrying it the way you're carrying it. Everybody in your family going crazy. Your job going crazy. Can't find the money. You don't feel good. But yet, you look at your life, and you see God taking care of you. Power! Somebody will take about 5 seconds and tell God, thank you for the power. It's special. It's extraordinary. Because it's something on the inside. Watch this. Watch this. My help done came now. Watch this. They got power because what Jesus spoke tapped into what he breathed. Because in chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus says, peace. Y'all missed it. When they didn't know if the Lord had got up or not, they didn't know if how things were, and they were locked up in a room. Jesus broke through, according to John 20. Jesus came through locked doors. And the first thing he said to his disciples, peace. I speak unto you. And John says he breathed on them. At some point in time, you weren't even paying attention. The Lord breathed on you. Why? Because you were in the right place. He breathed on them, and he spoke power unto them and prepared them what he's getting ready to do in Acts chapter 2. Sometimes, all you hold on to is a word. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I can't experience it, but I got a word. And the word gives me power to stay until the Lord moves like he say he gonna move. I just told you, they're under Roman government, under Roman authority, and it's harsh. Hellish, oppressive, devilish, satanic. Have I got to your neighborhood yet? Have I got to your life yet? Have I got to your state yet? Have I got to your city yet? Have I got to your country yet? Evil, misery, malice, jealousy, backbiting. how you supposed to keep standing and all that's going on in your life. He says, I'm going to give you a special ability. I'm giving you something. And the reason they talking about you and wondering is because they wasn't in the place that you were in. When you were in that prayer closet by yourself, when you were riding along by yourself, you were in that operating table by yourself, the Lord on you. The Lord gave a word to you, and you can look back over your life and see, I'm still catching hell. They still evil. They still lying. I'm still sick. I still got to go to the doctor, but because of the power, I'm still here. It's a special ability that God has given his church that he ain't given anybody else. Can I give you a challenge real quick? I got to hurry. But can I give you a challenge today? Stop looking for financial power and get his power. Stop looking for political power and get his power. Because politics, they won't vote you in next time. Finances run out. But the power of the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. I want the Lord's power. Somebody go help me witness today. I don't want political clout. I don't care about folk calling my name. I just want power to live this life. I wish there was somebody else's testimony. I ain't asking no more for the Lord to move it. I'm just asking him now for the power to handle it until you get ready to move it. Power is seen by not how much you can do, it's how much you can take. And God has put something in you, child of God, and made you for it tough. Why else are you still here? You got every reason, according to the world, not to trust God. According to the world, you got every reason in the world not to read a Bible again. You got every reason, some of the stuff in your life, you could be selling dope right now. You could be pimping right now. You could be tricking on the corner right now. But because you got the power of God, you taking those two nickels, rubbing them together, and God taking care of you, he taking care of your children. And that's just why you're waiting. So when we come to worship together, we come with special abilities together. And we all just see what you made it from. You see, you got to stop being so messy in being the church. My shout is not about where you've been. My shout is about what God spares you from. What God kept you in. Thank God you got power to still be here this morning. Oh, can you think about what you escaped? Can you think about what you overcome? And it was the power of God at work in your life. You people think you did something special. Come on, tell the truth. You ain't that smart. You ain't that talented. You don't know that many folk. Somebody need to tell the truth. The Lord hooked me up a long time ago with his power. I've been hooked up to heaven, and I ain't lost my connection yet. It's a special ability. And this mission is possible by a special ability, but then by a significant assignment. You got to understand your significant assignment. Now, let me shout you and make you mad at the same time. So much so that you ain't gonna shout. And I'm okay with that. I'm prepared for you to say nothing on this. But it's gonna shout you if you get it. Jesus gave this power to plural disciples. Peter denied him 3 times. And the Lord still gave him power. Thomas doubted him. And he still gave him power. Matthew was a crook, and the Lord still gave him power. I wish I had some folk who could appreciate that the Lord's power can straighten up crooks. Do I have another crooks in the house today who can testify you living off the power of God? He straightened you out. Now, watch this. Watch this. That means you ain't the only one God talked to. Other folk got power besides you. Don't mess up the fellowship because you don't want nobody having power but you. When Jesus says you and ye, he's talking to them. You are not the sacred scribe that God has kept to tell us about ourselves, and you can't get along with your own sister. He's speaking to more folk than you. And you got a significant assignment. All power shall be given unto you. Lord, have mercy. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's the special ability. But you ain't gonna like it because I got to rush through this significant assignment. I got to rush through this because you ain't finna like this. Because just because you got it, you got to know how to use it. And you will be witnesses unto me. Get in trouble, Ham. Before you can go witness, you need to be. You know why the church in trouble? Y'all interested to know why the church in trouble? Because we're selling products we don't buy. You're selling a product you don't believe in yourself. You selling for PK, but you buy from courtesy. It's good enough to work for, but ain't good enough to worship in. You showing up for something you really don't believe in. You supposed to represent something you don't reflect. I don't want you, God says, going out false advertising. Okay, you ever seen these billboards and these commercials that make them Big Macs and burgers and sandwiches and all that stuff look so good on TV? And you go and buy, grandma witnessing over there, grandma shouting on that one. And you go and buy it, and you get the sandwich and the buns upside down. Bread, meat might not be in it. Cheese ain't melted. Pickles on top of the bun. Okay, Dub, the meat burnt. And you get mad at the company because they selling you something off an image. And when you get, you run behind the image and then you realize there was no substance. Why are you a part of a church you can't stand? If ain't nobody no good, what that make you? If everybody witches and warlocks, when's your spell? But you keep showing up and accepting position, getting t-shirts, paying your tithes, coming to the meeting, coming to eat, taking part in stuff, I love my church and you hate everybody in it. You love your t-shirt but don't like your church.
Here it is. Get in trouble, man. How you give everybody else the best of you but give the church the worst of you?
I thought until I watched y'all in social gatherings, I didn't think you had laugh muscles. I didn't think your face could form a smile or a laugh or a dance. Because when we see you around the church, you are swole up, your arms folded, you never got a praise, never got joy, never love, never forgive, never help out.
That's not, but you want us to hear you preach.
You got a word for the house, but you ain't heard the word of the house.
I'm getting the truth. I don't care. It's Pentecost Sunday. The fire's coming. And the fire gonna burn up some stuff that shouldn't be here. I don't care about being hot. It's Pentecost Sunday. What better day to celebrate the real birth than to kill off some of this stuff that don't need to be living?
You want to preach and be used in the kingdom, and you can't speak. You can't speak, but you want me to hear you preach and prophesy? You can't open the door. You can't say good morning, and now I got to hear you say what thus said the Lord.
That's not being a witness. That's not being a witness. That's not being a witness, ladies and gentlemen. That's not being a witness. Because your life got to line up with your ministry. Your ministry got to line up with your mouth.
You mean you got power to prophesy but not power to speak?
That's why the world don't want to fool with us.
Because the world know the real us. We the ones just now realizing how fake you are.
The world been knowing we ain't no good.
You can't go witness until you are a witness.
Look what Jesus says. Before y'all go, you need to be.
I ain't making it up. Look in your text. When the power comes upon you, the first thing I want you to do is be.
And we got folk, the problem we made in the church is quiet on the parking lot, ain't it? The problem we made in the church is we done got folks busy doing and ain't made them sit and be yet.
I just want to be active. I just want to do something. I want to be busy. I just want God to, because God got him put something in me. Yeah, he kind of get that stuff out of you. Because something that's in you, he don't want to use.
But unless you learn how to be, some stuff going to come out, shouldn't.
Because you ain't ready yet.
And you need, every good believer need a season of being.
Who done sat down long enough and let somebody teach them?
Lord, I'm in trouble.
Now, you busy being a preacher, but you don't even know the books of the Bible.
You want to be a deacon because you got a suit and because you're a man, but you don't know what Acts says about being a servant.
Because you have not had a season of being.
Because in order to receive who you're being, you got to lose who you used to be.
And without a good season of being, some of that old you going to creep up.
And you're bringing who you are, really are, and used to be into the nowness of church.
We joined church, but we didn't get converted.
Why do I say that? Because the worldly flesh you, if somebody cuss you, you cuss them back. But if you are a witness, but now you want folk to be patient with you because you ain't there yet, but you told me you were a witness. So God has a right to expect certain things out of folk who say they are witnesses for him. You just can't do everything you feel, can't do everything you want to say. You just can't live like that if you are a witness. Witness comes from the word martus, where we get the word martyr from, meaning that you're willing to die for the cause. Witnesses, ladies and gentlemen, are those who can allude and prove the truth about Jesus Christ. See, you know why it's quiet right there? Because you don't even know Jesus. You know my business, but you don't know Jesus. Because witnesses can only talk about somebody they know. I'm preaching this thing way better than y'all saying amen. You can't talk about nobody you don't know and call yourself a witness. Why? You watch court? You've been to court enough. Some of y'all have been to court enough. You know that if you want to prove your case, you call witnesses to support your case. You don't call folk who don't halfway know you. You call folk who can defend your character. You don't call people who don't know you or can't say anything positive about you. And the Lord has us in court for the world. And we are called to show the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. And they're based not on what we do Sunday morning. They're based on how we live every day of our life. Watch this. Watch this, because here's your problem. These disciples can say they're witnesses because they saw his life, his death, and his resurrection. Physically. They physically were witnesses. Your question is, preacher, how can we be witnesses even though we can't see him physically? How are we going to show the world that Jesus exists and we have not seen him physically? Ask you a question. You woke up this morning? He lives. You ever been sick and he healed you? He lives. He's Jesus. He is who he says he is. You ever had been broke as a joke and he still provide for you? That's Jesus. See, folk who have experienced Jesus are now witnesses for Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody pick you up, turn you around like Jesus can. Because you've experienced him even though you did not see him. Can I ask you a question? Can I get a witness? Is there anybody who ain't ashamed to admit I know that Jesus lives? I know he is the Son of God. I know he is who he says he is. I know he saved me. Here's the problem. Here's the problem we got for the church. We ain't got on our stuff yet. We ain't talked about our struggles, our sicknesses, our problem with each other in the church. I can't work with her, can't work with him. That spirit grieves me. We ain't got on that yet because we got a mission. Y'all missed it. The mission ought to keep you focused. Why? Because you know what he saved you from. And I refuse to let your mess, I refuse to let your gossip, I refuse to let your rumors take my focus off what God has called me to do. I don't care who slept together. I'm woke.
Only real saints go testify with me on this one. When I say this, when you think what your life would be if he hadn't saved you, when you know what you used to be, when you know, and then watch this, when you know when you even saved and the stuff he done covered, you think I ain't gonna stay focused on what he called me to do? I wish I had some covered witnesses. Because sometime, watch this, sometime being a witness gets you in trouble. And the law, you have to go to what's called witness protection. But watch this. This is what God does. Because you stand for him, he covers you. Folks trying to take you out. Folks trying to scandalize your name. But he got you in witness protection. I got 84 people. I'll be number 5 who can tell God, thank you. You got me in witness protection. Whose horn is that? That's Red back there. Keep it going, Red. Red, wait till everybody get through honking and he do his own. Significant assignment. You shall be my witnesses. You are to carry me with you everywhere you go. Stop getting down there and pretending like you don't know us. Can I pastor real quick? If you gotta go somewhere and gotta be ashamed to be a Christian to go, you probably shouldn't go. If you got to go somewhere and tone down your walk with God, can't be who you really are because you want to be accepted. That's a word for the young people. They need that. Because our young people don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. That if you can't accept the fact I love God, you can't accept the fact that I pray, I'm not going to the party or the prom or nothing else with you. Watch this. Empowerment does not mean perfection. And stop letting the world put this pressure on you to be something you're not. Just be who you are. A witness. I'm trying to see now. Do I have any witnesses here? Any witnesses of the Lord's goodness? Any witnesses of the Lord's mercy? Does he walk with you? Does he talk with you? Has he helped you? Has he healed you? You ought to tell somebody right now, I am evidence. Guess what? We ain't cool right now. Red is going to work back there. We ain't cool now, are we? We're not very cool right now. We're not very hip or popular right now, are we? But we're going to be a witness. Because watch this. There are some places only witnesses can go. And you got to stop trying to convince people who were not there when you received them. Stop getting mad at people who were not there when he saved you. Watch this. When he showed up to them in John, they were in a closed, locked room. When he meets them right now in Acts 1, they're only there together. Everybody ain't going to be at the meeting. And everybody in the church building wasn't at the same meeting. And stop getting frustrated because some people ain't had the same experience that you had. People don't know what you know about the Lord. That's why you got to live it in front of them. You trying to preach, live. You trying to prophesy, live it. And that living it will show or bring forth a light in you, and they're going to want to either get right or they're going to get gone. Devils are not comfortable around light. So, can I get in trouble? If y'all decide not to come back, if you come into evaluate and see if we're real or not, and you choose not to come back again, we ain't gonna trip no more. Because all you're showing is not what you think you are, it's who you don't know. Because if you know the Lord, I can still be present. If I know the Lord, I can still be consistent. If I know the Lord, I can still be faithful. Tell them I said it. I want you to come. I want you to be a part. I want you to stay. But we're not finna sit and try to pick your ears and make you turn on a circus to make you stay. We don't have any gimmicks. We don't have any magic tricks. All we got is Jesus. And if that ain't enough for you, it'll never be enough. Some of y'all guys in the heat right now, y'all ain't here. Some of my poll members right now about to have a heat stroke for some folk who say they want to see each other, and you ain't here now. A special ability, a significant witness, and now a steadfast advancement. The mission now takes it off of us. And once you learn how to be a witness, you can now start witnessing. Be a witness. He says that first, doesn't he? You shall be a witness unto me. Ooh. Get in trouble, Ham. You ain't supposed to tell people about your church more you tell them about Christ. Why is our attendance and stuff always inconsistent in participation? Because we're not talking about Christ. We're talking about the crowd. You're supposed to be witnesses unto me. Lord, have mercy. Shift. Because some of us do witness, we don't witness unto him. You can tell everybody what everybody wore, what they said, how they shouted, how they didn't shout, who they looked at. She waved at me, didn't wave at her. He waved at me, didn't wave at her. Ain't talked to me this time. What did Jesus say that day? I'm on it, ain't I? I'm on it. What did Jesus say that day? You saw her shirt. Did you receive his spirit? Why the adults ain't singing? Why the kids singing today? What did the Lord minister through them? Ooh, it's hot. Was the word hot?